Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 11. Unofficially sponsored by Pearson Salted Nut Rolls, made right here in St. Paul. Don't be a butthole, eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. Today, I have with me the one and only Shogun.
What the fuck is up? Can I swear enough?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, what the fuck is up, people?
You gotta get up on that. Okay, you gotta get up on it. You can pick it up, people. Pick it up and hold it.
All right.
Shogun, which you may have heard his voice before. You've been on past Lunatics releases.
Yes, a couple of them, just bits and pieces.
Right, but just enough that people are like, "Who the fuck is Shogun?
Who the fuck is that?"
Well, here he is.
It is me.
Before you,
the one and only.
Let's see. Last week I had Mbag, and Jim Gnarly of Comatose. Those are actually maybe a couple guys you've met. They are part of Definition of Dope.
Oh yeah,
Rents's band. I have to give a little plug here to Fuzz Talk Radio. My buddy Nuts. That sounds funny. Buddy Nuts. That's his name though. Fuzzy Nuts. If you don't know him, you should. He's a good guy.
He's a good dude.
Fuzz Talk Radio. They air this show here on online, and you should check it out. Good people. But last episode, I had Mbag and Jim Gnarly on the show, and so now they have a new kind of a band thing called Comatose, and they actually performed a couple songs acoustic. It turned out pretty cool.
Sweet.
But we talked about the movie Spaceballs.
Great movie.
Spaceballs, yeah.
Great
movie. Tell me about Spaceballs. What do you like about Spaceballs?
Oh, what's there not to like about Spaceballs?
Barf?
Barf.
I love barf.
Pizza the Hut.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even mention Pizza the Hut.
I gotta love Pizza the Hut.
Yeah. That was was that Dom DeLuise?
I think it was Dom DeLuise, yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
He's dead.
Is he?
I think, anyways, internet folks, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
He's dead to the world, even if he's not really dead. Yeah.
Who's Dom? Who? You know, Spaceballs is great. Great movie. Michael Winslow,
Yeah, and again, we didn't reference him either. Yeah. Michael Winslow is seen in Police Academy.
God, I'm trying to think of a line from there. I can't pull one out.
Right. one of my favorite lines, and it's basically because I love John Candy and the character Barf, is when he introduces himself. He's like, "What are you?" He's like, "I'm a Mog, half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend."
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good one. Yeah. There's something I just learned about that, too. I was just talking about Spaceballs with a buddy of mine, that the scene where Rick Moranis is playing with his
dolls,
Spaceball dolls, was not originally in that script.
Right, yeah.
That was all ad-libbed off the top of his head, and they decided to put it in the movie, and it's hilarious. Yeah. It's like one of my favorite.
That makes you, when you hear stuff like that, I don't know about you, but I appreciate stuff like that.
Oh, God, yeah.
Ad-libbed, right off the top of their head.
Yeah, good shit.
But, today is actually the day before. It's St. Patrick's Day Eve. So it's a Saturday, so people actually do celebrate St. Patrick's Day today, and then, like, tomorrow they eat corned beef and cabbage.
Yes.
And whatever Irish people
nurse do. A wicked hangover.
And that too, yeah. But people probably won't be hearing this until, like, Wednesday, so.
Okay.
Just, when you hear this, just think, hey, I remember Saturday. I remember I was wasted at, like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Or they might say, I don't remember Saturday at all. And it's Wednesday, and I'm still nursing this really fucked up hangover.
Yeah. That's it's kind of funny it's not a holiday, but it is partied, it's celebrated like it is a holiday, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's weird. I honestly woke up this morning and I was thinking to myself, what are they celebrating exactly?
Right. I don't know. But you know what I do every, and this is very cliche, every St. Patrick's Day I listen to House of Pain's first album.
Yes.
Every St. Patrick's Day. And I know it's corny, it's like,
but it's not. You hear them in almost every bar, too. I guarantee if you go to Irish bar, any Irish bar, you're in House of Pain playing.
Okay. And, or you hear somebody playing bagpipes, which is actually a Scottish thing, not even Irish.
Yeah, some of that.
People get your shit together. So we're going to talk about that album, House of Pain, DJ Lethal, Danny Boy, and who's the other
Everlast.
Guy? Everlast. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Album was released in 1992. Do you remember 1992?
Vaguely, yeah. I was just starting my vast career into being a full-time hoodlum.
And this album probably didn't help.
No, this the album helped.
Yes.
Helped it dramatically.
So this album, do you remember, this was kind of like when CDs first were like really, the record stores are more like 50-50 tapes and CDs at this point.
Yeah.
So I remember I bought the CD, and it was when the CDs came in like those long.
Yeah, I was just going to say things, that. When I got mine too, it came in the 14-inch long cardboard box.
Yeah, and I took it. I had a stereo little boom box that had like the tape deck where you could dub a CD onto tape, and I did that with this.
Yeah, yep.
And then I remember cutting up the box and putting like a little cardboard sleeve, like, you know, tape singles used to come in.
Yeah, I used to do that too, man.
Yeah, and I did that, and I listened to the shit out of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I listened to it too. It was a like a breath of fresh air back then.
It was
something new.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like
the only like white boy hip hop there was Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
And this was a little more.
I think it wasn't Vanilla around back then.
Oh yeah, Vanilla Ice, but you know.
Yeah, that was more mainstream.
When you heard at that point in time, when you heard Vanilla Ice talk shit, you were like, "Shut up, Vanilla Ice!"
Yeah,
you know,
it was different. Yeah.
But if you heard House of Pain talk shit, you were like, "I don't want to fuck with
these
you.
Dudes. Might fuck you up."
So yeah, House of Pain was formed actually because Danny Boy went to a school, a high school called Taft High School.
Okay.
And I
named after William Taft. Or
you're right. Yeah.
One of the most corrupt politicians in the history of the United States.
But here's a little fact about Taft High School. Taft High School has bred a lot of famous names.
Really?
Which is kind of weird. Taft High School, it's located on Ventura Boulevard, you know, down on Ventura, over in Woodland Hills, in the San Fernando Valley.
Really?
In Los Angeles. But I'm just going to go through a little list of people that attended Taft. Brad Wilk, you might not know the name, but you've seen him. He's the drummer for Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave.
Yeah.
Dana Plato.
Dana Plato.
Yeah, from Different Strokes.
The late Dana Plato.
The late, yeah. Moment of
Rest
silence.
Rest in peace, Dana. Rest in peace.
Moment of silence.
She did great Playboy spread before she died, by the
way. She did, yeah. That would be like masturbating in a time machine.
A time machine, yeah.
Of course, Danny Boy O'Connor of House of Pain.
Wow, good Irish name.
Yeah. Eazy-E.
Yeah, I could see that.
The motherfucking devil's son-in-law. Yeah. Again, you know, again, rest in peace, Eazy-E.
Easy motherfucking E.
Yeah. Everlast, of course, and that's where Danny Boy and Everlast met, and they formed House of Pain.
Okay.
Another one, Ice Cube.
No shit. I'm sure, yeah, because him and Easy went to school together.
Yeah. Jason Bateman, actor.
The Batemans?
Yeah, both of them. Jason and Justine.
Justine, too?
Yeah. Both graduates.
What if they all hung out and, like, smoke weed with Easy and shit back in the day?
Yeah, Jason Bateman's like, yeah, I'm going to do this movie, Teen Wolf 2.
Hey, Eric, right? Hey, you want to go smoke one?
I got some of that Teen Wolf weed.
Oh, man, that's good shit. Who else?
Lisa Kudrow from Friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was Phoebe, right?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, yeah, she was the hippie one.
Yeah, yep. Robin Wright. She's an actress, and she was married to Sean Penn for a while.
Okay.
Robin Yount, who's a former baseball player, played for the Brewers, MVP guy.
Okay.
And there's a huge list of people, but these are the ones that really stuck out to me.
Okay.
Wilmer Valderrama, actor and star of That 70s Show.
Oh,
whatever that hit.
Is it the dad?
Show. No, he's the Fez.
Oh, okay. No shit, really. Yeah. God, I wonder if this school's got to be getting like kickbacks from the Hollywood producers.
Yeah. Come to our school, we'll make you into a famous person. Yeah, there were a lot of like NFL players, some other baseball players that were in there that I didn't recognize.
That's crazy, man.
But so, Taft High School bred Everlast and Danny Boy. And then I don't know where the hell DJ Lethal came from, but
yeah, where'd they find Lethal at?
I don't know. He was probably homeless with like two turntables, right. You know. But so they got together. They made this album with the help of DJ Muggs of Cypress Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
And the production of the album was basically split almost 50-50 between Muggs and Lethal, except for there's a couple tracks that Ralph the Mexican, Ralph M's the Mexican from Funk
from the
Dubious.
Mexicans and the Funk Dubious,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So in this day, that in this time there was something called Soul Assassins.
Yeah,
you're familiar. That Soul Assassins is still around, but
it was kind of like a, it was kind of like their whole crew.
Yeah, there was Cypress Hill, House mm-hmm. of Pain, Funk Dubious.
Yeah, the Funk Dubious. Who's the Funk Dubious? We're the Funk.
There was also another group. I can't think of the name of the Hooligans.
Oh yeah, I remember the Hooligans.
And one the Hooligans were two white boys. Mm-hmm. One of them is James Caan's kid, who is now an actor in the Hawaii Five-0 show.
Really?
Yeah,
that kid?
Yeah. There's a video on. We'll look it up after this. Go to YouTube. Look up Hooligans.
Yeah.
There's a video. And is the one of the kids is one of the rappers is him. I don't know his name. Something Khan.
Ain't it the same dude that's in? He's in Gone in 60 Seconds too. Ain't
yeah. It? Oh, he's been in a ton of shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Well, did you know?
That's pretty cool.
But of course, the most popular song in this album is "Jump Around." You can't go anywhere without hearing it, especially on St. Patrick's Day.
It's a timeless classic.
Right. Something I didn't know is University of Wisconsin Badgers. I think their football team uses "Jump Around" and like they, like the bleachers, so they, their colors are like red and white.
Red, white, yeah.
Yeah, and they sing "Jump Around" before the game, like mm-hmm. the whole crowd, and it's like so huge and it's such a thing.
Yeah,
I think like 2 or 3 years ago, Everlast actually went there and practiced with the University of Wisconsin band and performed it at the a game.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They probably paid him. He was like, oh, sure.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Yeah, give me $10,000, I'll come out and do it.
That's cool as shit.
What else do I got here? Jump Around was the first single. Of course, that gave everyone a boner.
Huge.
But
massive.
Okay, so in a recent interview, you know, like there's always interviews where, like, House of Pain could be considered a one-hit wonder.
Mm.
They could be. But there's Shamrocks and Shenanigans, which was their another single, and then they had.
Well, there was quite a few on that first one that were really good songs.
Yeah, I like the whole album, but I'm kind of biased. I like though.
Well, I know how many albums did they eventually put out as House of Pain? It was like 3, wasn't it?
Three. Yep.
Which I owned.
But they also
three.
Had like I would definitely not consider them a one hit wonder.
I don't think so, no.
But. Jump Around is one of the biggest hits of the 90s.
Yeah.
And, like, at one of those VH1 shows, they were interviewing Everlast, and they said, like, he was saying, like, he hated the song for a long time, you know? Because...
After it got popular?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everyone's
over
like,
and over and
play
over.
Jump
You're the
Around.
House of Pain guys.
You know?
You're the Jump Around guys. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that same thing.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of bands kind of go through that with their most popular songs. They get tired of playing it over and over, being known for it, you know? But
every show. But I actually went through a phase where I didn't even want to listen to it because you just hear it so much.
Yeah, I mean, that happens with a lot of good songs, you know. But Jump Around is one of those songs it will be on the radio when our kids have kids.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
It's timeless.
I wonder if a band is eventually going to remake it.
It could happen.
Yeah, it could.
They remake a lot of stupid songs.
Well, you know,
a good one to do,
Limp Bizkit did a cover of it.
Did they?
At one point, yeah, for their Family Values tour.
Oh, okay.
CD. That was cool. I went through a Limp Bizkit phase, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of went and did that, got the red hat backwards phase, you know.
Yeah, right. But this album was, here's what I liked about the album. It was 18 tracks, which is very long for an album, but there's like skits in there, so it actually turns out to be like maybe 15
mm-hmm.
solid songs. But what I did not like was they eventually... re-released the album with the Butch Vig remix of Shamrocks and Shenanigans, which had the guitar.
Yeah, I had that.
And the version I had did not have that. I'm like, I don't want to buy it. You know, you're a teenager. You don't have any money.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to buy the fucking album again just for one
buy
song.
Twice, yeah.
So this was 92. in between 92 and 94, they kind of had like, a lot of good things going for them. They did the Who's the Man soundtrack and the movie.
Yeah, Who's the Man was great.
Yeah.
They were the bad guys in the movie.
Yeah, Ed Lover and Dr. Dre, they were the hosts of Yo MTV Raps. And
yep.
It was kind of like a who's who of rap and the early
90s rap game, yeah.
Fucking everybody was in there. Criss Cross.
It's crazy. You know, I would have never even thought of that movie until you just said it.
Yeah.
Just sparked nature. All these memories. Yeah, it's all the 90s rappers were in there, man.
Yeah.
And House of Pain played some, they're pretty good bad guys
in
there.
Yeah.
They're believable.
Run DMC cameo. It was anybody who was anybody in rap at the time.
Yeah.
Another soundtrack. You remember, you know what this movie is? Everlast was in the movie. And it's one of probably my favorite soundtracks. It was like a mashup of rap and rock.
Okay.
Judgment Night. Soundtrack?
Judgment Night.
Yeah. Helmet and House of Pain.
Yeah. That's old school.
Onyx and Biohazard.
Onyx, yeah, they were pretty good too, man.
It was like Run DMC and Living Color, I want to say.
On the soundtrack?
Ice-T and Slayer.
Yeah.
That was fucking cool, man.
That was very cool.
Sir Mix-a-Lot and Mudhoney. It was cool. I listen to that even to this day.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's one that I've lost in translation, man. Like
Cypress Hill and Pearl Jam.
Never heard that one.
Yeah. I'm sure you have. I Love You, Mary Jane. That's the song.
Oh, okay.
Good shit. So after that, they released the Same As It Ever Was album. And then between 94 and 96, they kind of, I think they recorded some stuff, and it didn't make the next album, but it was just kind of an interim thing. And then they did Truth Crush to Earth, She'll Rise Again in 96. And then that was it.
Yeah, that was, I'd see, roughly 94 through 96, I was full-blown hooligan at the time, so I think I had kind of lost track of what those guys were doing.
Right. What were you listening to then?
God, whatever was just ridiculously hardcore back then, you know, like, I listened to a lot of West Coast back then, like,
right.
South Central Cartel and,
right.
You know, NWA and fucking Spice One.
Spiggity Spice One.
E-40, The Click, you know, like, Cypress Hill, Ice Cube, just a lot of DJ Quick, you know, Tupac, just all West Coast back then.
Right. So you fell off the House of Pain?
For a little bit, yeah. You know, I always had the album still locked in there.
Right.
But some of the later stuff, I kind of didn't catch much of that.
Right. Yeah, the third one, that Truth Crushed to Earth one, is kind of, they grew. You could tell it wasn't like the, you know, Muggs always had that production of kind of like that gritty,
mm-hmm.
Unpolished sound.
Yep.
I don't know how else to really say it. I mean, it's that I don't mean that in a negative way.
No, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Hold on. Kids are fucked. So, yeah, their sound eventually just kind of progressed, and it got a little more, like, not poppy, but definitely more hip-hop sounding. You know, mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, almost New York East Coast type sounding.
Yeah, really.
Like, the third one had Guru on it, and that's kind of like a good...
Late Guru.
The late Guru. Again, man. Wow, people die.
People die. That sucks.
Why do people need to die?
Exactly. The greats, man.
Yeah. Okay, so I remember when House of Pain came out, my brother and I and another friend were just like, we were so into House of Pain.
Yeah, so was I.
Like, you know, you go to the record store and you're like, my buddy Josh was like, hey, I found this Everlast CD, and it's like from 1990. And you're like, what? Everlast had an album before House of Pain? And he actually came up before that with Ice-T's Rhythm Syndicate or Rhyme Syndicate.
Yeah, I remember Rhythm Syndicate.
Yeah. And he was like the white boy of the crew.
What?
And he had this first solo album. Yeah, it was called Forever Everlasting, 1990. And it's just
for
like...
real?
It is so... It's just like this... their poppy attempt at to try to, like, get this white guy rapper. I think they were trying to capitalize on, like, what Vanilla Ice was doing.
Yeah.
And he didn't really dance. But he was wearing, like, a suit. You know what I mean? Like, a full-on suit and...
Kind of like
no, he didn't have a shaved head. It was like a full, like, done up hair, you know. It was just so campy and cheesy, you know. I didn't like it. I still don't like it.
Kind of like third base or
exactly like third base.
Oh, that's funny, man. Yeah. I never knew that.
So, you know, after
and I had that CD, Rhyme Syndicate.
All right, yeah, and I bet you he's probably on there.
God, I should have dig that out. It's probably buried in all my CDs.
So, after House of Pain ended, you know, he took some time off Everlast, and then he started his solo career again, and obviously a lot different from this very first Forever Everlasting one.
Yeah.
Like country-ish, Whitey Ford, and he's obviously been pretty successful there.
Yeah, the Whitey Ford album?
Yeah.
That was a good album. I mean, yeah. completely flipped his style, but
yeah.
It was a great album, man.
And then he's got a few. You know, and then he actually did the song on Santana's album, Put Your Lights On. I think he won a Grammy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've listened to that many times, man.
So the man's got some talent.
He does, and his voice changed, you know. I think he suffered a stroke or something, too, yeah. And I think it affected his voice a little bit, and it got a little more gritty, a little more rough, you know. It sounds
like he
cool,
smoked
you know?
A pack of cigarettes a day.
Yeah, more than that, like a case of Craig Carton a day or something. But, yeah, and, you know, he's good, and, you know, You put me on La Cocca Nostra too, so right. It's like I kind of picked back up with them. From
yeah,
that
and
point.
That was cool. It's cool to hear. You know, I really like his solo stuff because I'm kind of like I was raised like my dad listens to country music, so I know of country music. I've never purchased a country music album. I'm
Neither
proud to say that.
Neither have I.
Not that it's
you
bad.
You will never catch me buying a country album.
But it was just kind of cool to hear him. You know. Do this acoustic guitar shit, you know. It was, and he's talented. So
you know, it was, to me too. It felt more like a jazz feel to it. It didn't really feel like country,
right? It's not country, but it's there's a lot of
pretty in depth and
yeah,
it was good shit.
Yeah, and he's a good songwriter. Obviously, he won a Grammy. You know, you're doing something good.
Yeah, got something on the bookshelf there.
Yeah. I've never gotten a Grammy. Have you?
I've been nominated.
Oh yeah, Shogun Grammy nominated. But. And that's still noble. Right
that's quite an honor, yeah.
So yeah, after his solo, I mean, he still does solo stuff, but yeah, he got back together with Danny Boy and Lethal,
yeah,
and then Ill Bill and another rapper Slain from Boston, and they formed La Cocca Nostra,
yeah,
which is back to like the hardcore roots.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's I feel like it's way harder than any House of Pain album.
Yeah, yeah,
and like
it's
the subject matter is way more complex. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
But now I think it was last year, they released another La Cocca Nostra album, but Everlast had to drop out of the group because he had a daughter,
yeah,
and she has, what the hell is it called? She has a disease.
Okay.
I forget what it is, but so she's still an infant, and she's still alive as far as I know, but... so he just wanted to stay close to home and not have to tour.
Well, absolutely, man.
You know, so that
that's
was...
Most
I mean, that sucked.
Thing.
It really changed the sound of the album because he wasn't involved.
Yeah.
So, but it's still good, but...
It's for a greater cause, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Kids. Got to get kids, man.
Here's a little something you might not know about. Did you know that Everlast and Eminem had a little beef going for a while?
Yeah, I remember Eminem, you know, saying a few things on his albums.
Yeah, and they went back and forth for a little while. It was just kind of weird, you know? It's like, why would either of them care? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm sure Eminem's like, I'm the hot white rapper on the scene. No one can fuck with me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and he was younger.
Well, I remember, the only thing I really know about that is what I heard, you know, on Eminem's album. And what I believe he stated was that, I don't know, this is all just, you know, hearsay, but apparently Everlast got pissed about it or something, but I have no idea.
Right, well, one way or the other, yeah. Something
but
like
it seems really silly, you know.
Yeah. It sold some records, I'm sure.
It did, yeah. I mean, that kind of shit sells, man. I love rap beef,
yeah.
Whether it's real or fake.
That beef?
It's always good ever since back in the NWA days, man. Right. Like, No Vaseline, one of the greatest songs ever fucking created. Strictly
that was actually
rap
probably
beef.
One of the first really big beef songs. If
I think it was, and I think it's
and he fucking
probably
them.
Still the best.
Yeah.
Like Vaseline, No Vaseline.
Right.
Greatest, one of the greatest rap songs ever.
Right. So since House of Pain split up, obviously Everlast went and did his thing.
Yep.
Lethal went on and joined Limp Bizkit. He was the DJ for them.
Yep.
Danny Boy went and he actually kind of had his own little side projects. One called ATF, Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms. I'd never even heard anything of that, but he also had this other one called X Supermodels.
Okay.
And they had like a demo that actually, I don't know what, I remember I acquired it somehow, some way.
Is that a girl group or something?
No,
or?
It's not.
Okay.
You would think X Supermodels, but no, it's like, it was almost like a techno type rap.
Okay.
Thing, Like the beats were very futuristic sounding.
When was this?
Very digital. This was, I don't know, 97. Oh, okay.
Still in the 90s then?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Danny Boy rapped, and I always like to hear Danny Boy rap because he never really, he was like on 3-4 songs.
Yeah, you only hear a little bit. And, you know, his flows were pretty good.
Yeah, they weren't bad. But now his role with House of Pain was mainly graphic design. He designed the House of Pain logo.
Which is a sweet logo.
Artwork, yeah.
I actually knew a couple guys that tattooed that shit on their fucking bodies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's anything really. I think Danny Boy was a really big inspiration to me because, like, he was involved with the music and also did the design work.
Yeah, design, their websites, like
their logos, their shirts.
The fun stuff.
Yeah, right. And here's another little known fact about Danny Boy. Remember, like, the whole weed leaf on the hat?
Yeah.
Like, in
the Dr. Dre Chronic era, yeah.
He designed that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and there's a movie you got to check out. I'm not a big shoe guy.
Okay.
But Danny Boy is one of those shoe collectors, like, classic sneakers.
Yeah,
whatnot.
Yep.
There's a movie called Just for Kicks that he put together.
Okay.
And it's that came out in 2005, but it's a very interesting documentary about people who collect shoes.
Okay, so he's been busy.
Yeah,
he's doing things. That's good, man.
But I think he had kind of a drug problem or something. I think he kind of fell into that.
It comes with the turf,
right?
You know,
shit, you're touring the world.
Yeah,
hopefully
you can get it out.
Yeah,
get it out of your system and come back. Somebody's, was that you that was telling me that a lot of rock stars get addicted to drugs because they're trying to simulate that high of being on stage,
right?
And it's almost impossible to reach that, you know, because it's like pure adrenaline, you know.
And especially because you can't stay on top forever.
No,
I mean, very few can, but
it
has to end sometime.
At some point, you gotta retire.
Yeah,
Muhammad Ali had to retire. Right. You know, fucking Mike Tyson had to retire.
You gotta get into the psyche.
Jay-Z had to retire.
Too short. 10 albums.
10 albums and still going.
Bitch.
One of the masters of having a 10-minute long song.
Right. Ain't nothing like pimping, just let it roll. Motherfucking shit, goddamn asshole. You know, he dropped like every, at least half of the cuss words right in that one line.
Yeah.
You know?
He was just here with E40 a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. February.
I'd go see him.
I would too. Yeah, it's funny, just out of nowhere, too short story, but we were in Vegas one time and just stopped by some club, and we were about to go in, and they're like, oh, it's $100 to get in.
Ooh.
We're like, why? Two shorts here.
Oh.
Okay, what time does he go on? Oh, he's not going on. He's just hanging out. Okay, so because he's here, we got to pay $100? Yep.
Wow.
We're going to the next bar. Tell Too Short we
said hi. Welcome to Vegas.
Nothing against Too Short, but...
Right.
I'm not paying $100 to
maybe
rub elbows with
and
you.
And maybe see him. You probably
exactly.
might not even see him. Probably, still, just a sea of
just
half naked chicks.
Yeah,
around,
just
you know?
A,
you know, that's
him.
Just,
him in 1,000 hoes.
That's what I picture Too Short.
Yeah,
there's like a circle of at least 20 hot chicks and bikinis. And, you know.
Yeah, and he's selling half of them. You know, like
right. Shorty the pimp.
Yeah. Blowjob Betty.
Yeah. That's really all I got on this album, you know. I'm going to listen to it on my way home.
Yep, I'll be listening to it today since it's St. Patrick's Eve today. I'm sure I'll hear that song all day long today.
Yeah.
Every bar I go to.
This is the point in the show where we break.
Word.
We enjoy a Pearson Salted Nut Roll.
All right.
Unofficial sponsor. You don't have peanut allergies, do you?
We'll find out. You know, when I was a kid... I would get so fucking pissed off if somebody threw one of these in my fucking trick-or-treat bag.
Really?
Oh, God. I didn't start liking these until I was an adult. My kids
weren't
eating.
Had you had them before or you just didn't know?
I'd had them before, but as a kid, my definition of candy is like chocolate.
Right.
It's like, what is this thing?
Have you ever had the chocolate-covered one?
No.
It's
that one probably really looks like a turd.
Yeah.
There's corn coming out of my candy bar. I was wondering what that white shit is in the middle of.
It doesn't say.
Nougat?
Is that what it, you... That's... I've always wondered what it is. I'd say nougat. But isn't nougat like the middle of
Kind of like
Three Musketeers
yeah,
or something?
Or a Snickers or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a mystery. Maybe when Pearson's finally calls me and says, hey, we're ready to make that deal.
There is no yellow number five in here, people. No yellow number five.
I'll have to ask, before I sign this document, what the hell is the white shit in the middle? And they're like, do you really want to know?
Nuclear fallout.
I have a kind of an off-the-cuff question for you.
Mm.
Being a fan of music, if you were stranded on death row with the death row inmates...
With the people of death row, like Death Row Records?
Death Row Records, yeah.
Okay.
Who would you want to be cellmates with?
Well, can it be a woman?
Basically, okay. The only woman that was really...
The Lady of Rage.
Lady of Rage, right? There's a couple of ways you can look at this.
I'm pretty sure if we shared a cell together, she would probably make me her bitch.
There's a couple of people that you're just instantly like, no. Chug Knight, no.
Fuck no.
There's some give and take there. Like, if you're okay to get fucked in the ass, then Chug Knight might be all right.
No, thank you.
Because maybe if you're his bitch, it's like, he
things
can protect
me. Things
might
be better for you. That is such a hard way to look at life.
Snoop, you know, he's like...
Snoop would smuggle in all the good drugs in right. into the cell. He'd be sitting with
chances
Snoop.
Chances are Snoop's not going to try to butt fuck you.
He'd keister out a bag of weed.
Right. And if any of the beef songs are true, Dre might be willing to get fucked in the
butt. Yeah, you can make Dre your bitch.
Daz, I'm sure he'd be a scrapper.
Yeah, I would think anybody from the Dog Pound or Pac even.
Yeah.
I don't think
but,
there'd
you know,
be any.
But, you know, Pac has... He knows people. He's been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got connections or had connections. I think
you know what. So if I had to answer off of that list, I would say probably Tupac because just he knows people. He's like, look, mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to fuck you in the butt.
Well, not only that, but his family's pretty in tune. Like the whole Black Panther family. Like he has family members that were in there.
Right.
So it's like I think
he's got some pull.
Yep. And you know he's not as big as Suge. You know, if he tried to bend you over, we might have a fighting chance with Pac. You know, so it's like, yeah, Pac
Corrupt.
Might be a good one.
Corrupt is—I don't know about today, but I remember Corrupt being kind of like the scrawny.
He was yeah, kind of one of the smaller guys. But,
yeah,
I mean,
so I wouldn't worry about him.
Huge ego and I mean, great flow. That dude can fucking
flow. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree. Have you ever
Dash,
heard the
Dash too? I like both of them.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the Corrupt and DJ Quick album, Blackout?
No.
Which is pretty good.
What?
Yeah. That was like maybe 3-4 years ago.
I dig Quick's music, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's put out a lot of stuff, you know, after the whole 90s death row thing. And, you know, he was involved in that whole Biggie Smalls murder thing, too. So that,
Quick?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was there?
They found the vehicle in his garage. Like, it wasn't, I don't know if it was quote-unquote his car, but... The vehicle that was used was in his establishment. Like, he went through some shit for that. I actually have an album upstairs of his where he talks about it. Like, almost a full album of him telling what the hell happened with that thing. But
I know he was kind of involved with Suge at some point.
Yeah, him and Suge are buds, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Quick's a great producer, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Phenomenal beats, great music. Back in the day, Way Too Funky, that was like one of my favorite albums.
Yeah.
You know?
It took me a while to get into Quick because, what was his first album?
I think Straight Outta Compton, yeah. No, not Straight Outta Compton, sorry.
It was something about Compton.
It's the one that had Tonight on it. We doing the same old thing tonight. Tonight is the night.
Because I remember his image, it reminded me of Eazy-E so much. I was like, who the fuck is this knockoff of Eazy-E?
Same, well, different hoods. Like, they're obviously two different hoods, but he comes from back in the day, the early, late 80s,
right.
early 90s, Jerry Crow fade, you know, like.
And I think I just couldn't get over that image. I was like, this guy was trying to look like Eazy-E.
Yeah,
so it took me a while to get
just
into
him. Wearing like a Raiders cap with his Jerry curl,
right.
You know,
yeah,
which is very Eazy-esque.
Yeah,
but at the time, you know, Eazy-E was a fucking, you know, he's like a fucking god in California, dude. Like
right.
the big shit, dude. Eazy-E.
Mm.
I'd want to be like him too if I lived.
Right.
I mean, shit. When I was a kid, I ran around dressing like Eazy-E. I had my looks and
Did you have a Compton
my
hat?
My Raiders hat? No, I couldn't find a Compton hat. Right. I had to get a Raiders cap.
City of Compton.
I remember as a kid, we were fucking around, like, tagging garages or something. And I had a friend of mine who was a white dude from Minneapolis. And as we were just running around, just tagging this stupid shit on people's garages or whatever the fuck we were doing, he's writing Compton on almost every fucking garage he comes across, as big as he fucking can, in black paint. Compton. Which, at the time, I thought was the funniest fucking shit ever.
You know, it is. That is.
In the heart of the heartland, smack dab in Minnesota, people are coming out to their garages. These old white folks are going, "Honey, what the fuck is Compton?" Compton?
That's peculiar. So I really throw... Yeah, you know what? There is a kind of genius to what he was doing. Mm-hmm. Like, why would they trace it back to some white boy named Walter?
Exactly, you know? Exactly. Oh, there's got to be some kids from California up here.
Compton.
Compton.
Do you believe in aliens?
Maybe. So, yeah, kind of.
Do you believe in Lil Wayne?
Maybe, yeah, kind of.
How about John Wayne?
John Wayne. I believe he's dead, son.
Man, I just keep bringing up dead people. Man, I'm like Bruce Willis.
I heard John Wayne and two faces come to mind, Jackie Chan and John Wayne. Only because I watched Shanghai Nights with the kids the other night. Or okay. Shanghai Noon.
Shanghai Noon, yeah.
Jackie Chan's name was John Wayne.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but spelled a Chinese way.
Oh,
like
okay.
Chan Wang.
So, the only thing I know about Lil Wayne is that he says he's an alien in his music. Have you ever heard Lil Wayne?
Oh, yeah. Quite a few Lil Wayne albums, actually. Okay. He's not the only one, you know. Our good friends, Outkast, they're AT aliens themselves.
Oh, right. Yeah,
you know?
There you go. Yeah.
They definitely could be from another planet, man.
Right, yeah. I think Lil Wayne, the thing that bothers me is that he tries too hard to be different. Mm. But some could say the same about Outkast.
Yeah.
Not so much Big Boy, but Andre.
Andre, yeah.
Because just his flamboyant shit he wears.
Yeah, great style, man.
Yeah.
I remember the... Fuck, what album was that where he was just rocking hockey shoulder pads? That actually had a couple of my buddies running around the hood in hockey pads.
Nice.
You know. What are you doing, man?
I'm not wearing hockey pads. No, I am wearing hockey pads. That's Batman.
That's a good Batman.
Yeah.
You know that impersonation.
So yeah. You're a big fan of music, so what do you can you remember like the first album that you ever bought? Not so much the first one you like heard, but any genre.
One of my very first rap CDs, or actually it was a tape, was Young MC.
Oh, yeah.
And Young MC, AMG, which is like night and day fucking difference. But, God, who else was out with at the same time as Young MC? Another, like, real
MC Hammer,
candy rapper, like a...
Vanilla Ice.
Like, got airplay on the radio,
oh,
never swore.
Tone Loc.
Tone Loc.
Loked After Dark or something?
My mom bought that one. And those were probably... Those were like dubs of my friend's CDs, you okay. know, because back in the day, we were fucking dirt poor. You know, right. I could barely afford to get a blank tape to copy these fucking things. Mm-hmm. So I had all that shit and a bunch of heavy metal stuff. And I think actually one of the very first tapes I bought on my own had to be America's Nightmare.
Right.
And that was, or no, Spaghetti Spice not Spice One. America's, it was Ice Cube's first solo album.
Oh, America's Most Wanted.
America's Most Wanted.
Right. And that was actually the first Ice Cube I'd ever heard. Yeah, I hadn't heard N.W.A. That was actually the first I'd heard was that Ice Cube, and then I worked my way back to like Eazy and N.W.A.
Yeah, you know, I guess, God, it's so hard to say, but I had N.W.A. prior to that one, too. You know, me and my buddy,
You know what, get your shit straight.
Yeah.
Get your story
that was,
straight.
Okay. That was actually the one I actually bought, but like, I had my buddy, Pat... would buy all these tapes and I would just dub them. So I had all kinds of dubs. My actual first purchase one was Ice Cube's first solo album, which is fucking sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looked really fucking pissed off on
it. Always does.
With the Jerry curl, and except this time he didn't have the baseball cap. He had a fucking Raiders winter cap on. So he looked really pissed about to cap a fucker.
Yeah.
And that is the album with no Vaseline.
Right. Yep.
Once again, the greatest fucking Beef song ever. Ever.
Better if you if you don't know No Vaseline, then you should probably stop listening to this.
or find a copy.
I suppose you could just listen. We'll give you a second chance. But it's probably the original. So there's songs like, what was the Tupac one with Hit 'Em Up?
Hit 'Em Up, that's another one.
That's a good one.
Have you heard Eminem's version of that?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know.
Actually,
kind of a, like,
I want to say that he Eminem used that beat on that diss song to Everlast, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's it. Hit 'Em Up.
Okay. How about, do you remember, did you ever get, I actually talked about this on another podcast episode, but have you ever, like, went to buy, like, an album? I remember when they have the parental advisory on there, some stores would be like, no, you're not old enough to buy this album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were denied a sale?
As a kid, yeah, I remember being denied, and I'd work my way around it.
Right.
I also remember trying to buy the same albums at certain different stores, like bigger stores.
Yeah.
And being like, sweet, getting it, buying it, getting home, and half the fucking shit is deleted out because I didn't look hard enough to find that parental advisory sticker.
Yeah.
Everything was deleted. I got a Cypress Hill album like that, actually, Black Sunday. Almost was that, half the album is blanked out.
Was that when they would beep it out, or was it actually just blanked out?
It'd just be like, I want to get... So...
Do you remember was it Columbia House or BMG?
Yeah, I remember Columbia House. 12 CDs for a penny.
Right, yeah. I got two short dogs in the house.
Yep. I got some edited. Two shorts from them.
Edited.
Really?
Yeah, and there's actually a song. The song, I think it has Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a part, and this is when they would beep the words out.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a part on that song, and he's like, I'm the beep, the beep, the beep, the beep, the beep. It's like, man, I think I sold the CD. But just for, like, comedy purposes, I should have kept it, because it was just like, man, serious? How could you even listen to this?
Yeah, or even do a beep for each letter. Why wouldn't you just do one steady beep?
Right. I'm the beep. Oh, man, it was just...
They
it was
still
so
do that shit, like, even on... I have, you know, there's an Eminem CD that I got. Where it's full of swear words,
yeah.
But then he starts bringing up some legal issues, and there's an entire verse left out, you know.
Okay.
And I figured it out when I saw it on VH1 later. It was referring to an attorney.
Okay.
You know, something. And they blanked. Just they took out the whole thing. So they still do shit like that. But.
Well, they got to backtrack somehow.
They do. They should just put it in. It makes it fucking even better.
Right. Yeah. But then they lose money.
Get sued.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nah, lawsuits suck.
How about your first concert? Do you remember that?
First concert that I got to go to, actually, I worked at it, was Cypress Hill when they came here. And that's when they were beefing with Ice Cube. I worked for a security company doing ushering at, like, football games and hockey games and concerts and whatnot. So my first actual concert was... Cypress Hill. I had to usher there. It had to be 90, maybe 95 or 96.
Okay.
So I, you know, they started their shit, you know, and they're playing their big hits, but I remember at some point in the concert, they kind of stopped everything. They're like, all right, stop. We got some shit we want to say. And they stopped the concert, and for roughly 5 to 10 minutes, they just fucking tore Ice Cube a new asshole in front of, like, all these kids. You know, Minnesotan kids.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, they had the whole crowd saying, fuck Ice Cube, and, you know, like, all this shit about him. And I was just like, oh, okay.
I think, what the fuck? I want to say that the story was, like, Ice Cube, from their side, I think Ice Cube wanted to be part of Cypress Hill or something.
Okay.
And they just didn't want that. I don't know. It was kind
of
weird.
Yeah, I never really got that either. There's another one of those rap beefs that it was going on, but I never really caught what was going on.
Right. Yeah.
But fuck you, Ice Cube. Shit. Yeah, he was saying they're all like fakes. They're not, you know, they're supposed to be like Bloods and stuff from whatever, from California.
Well, no shit.
You're like, you guys aren't fucking Bloods. You guys ain't shit.
And that was before, what are those movies that Ice Cube does? The family ones.
Oh, yeah.
Barbershop and Are We There Yet?
Are We There Yet? That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. My God. There is. Do you ever watch the Boondocks?
No. I've seen some, but it's been a while. Doesn't Ice Cube do a voice, or?
No, they have an episode where they're making fun of him.
Okay.
And I think the dad, you know, it's two little boys, There's like a gangster one and like a activist one. And the little gangster one, you know, he's listening to whatever. And I think the dad or the grandpa or somebody was talking about Ice Cube. You know, back in my day, Ice Cube was the hottest motherfucker around. Da, 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 da. And the little boy, he looks at his grandpa and goes, "You talking about that nigga that makes all them kid movies?" I thought that was pretty
funny.
Yeah,
it's a different time. Yeah. It was a different time.
So that's pretty funny. Yeah. Same thing. Like when I was a kid, Ice Cube was like probably the toughest dude around. Yeah. You know, that people knew of.
Right. And then the internet came around.
And then the internet came around and got to see Kimbo Slice knock some guy's eye out of his skull. And
right.
You're like, wow.
Thank you, internet.
Hardcore, but yeah. But Ice Cube is a fucking genius. I mean, no disrespect to Ice Cube at all. I mean, he's a fucking brilliant dude.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I have you ever seen him live before?
No, but I just saw something recently on him. Also speaking, he's apparently a really good family man, you know, good dad and shit. I've heard so. But anyways, he's touring with his sons.
Yeah, because
which is fucking cool.
Yeah, I think he's got like three kids, maybe even four.
Yeah.
His two oldest boys, one of them's name, I think, is Doughboy. It goes by Doughboy.
Yeah, they call him Doughboy.
Yeah. I forget the other one's name, but they are featured on at least one of his two latest albums on a couple songs, and they're not bad.
No, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
It's funny that one of them looks just like him, just a little bit lighter, and then there's the other one, I think Doughboy, is a little bit taller. And then he's got another son, I don't know if it's his middle or youngest or whatever, but this dude is fucking huge, man. Yeah. Like, he could play professional football. He's like the Bane version of Ice Cube. Dude, like, just, yeah, Ice Cube's my dad. Like, he could eat Ice Cube. But he looks just like him. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like a strong
family. Good job, Ice Cube. His wife's pretty good looking, too, from what I recall. But, Cube. Yay, yay.
Yeah.
So I've seen Ice Cube on the Family Values Tour, which was Limp Bizkit, Ice Cube, Korn?
I believe Korn was there too,
You know who else was on this tour was Rammstein. Rammstein?
Yeah, I'm a fan of their music, but I've never seen them live. I heard their live shows are unfucking real.
Here's the thing. So I was like, I didn't give a fuck about anyone else. I wanted to see Ice Cube. And this was at, like, the Target Center.
Yeah.
I fought my way to the front row.
Yeah.
Like, they had, like, this little platform thing that came out in the middle of the crowd.
Yep.
And I was, like, I was right in this, like, corner of this thing. And right front row. And you had no idea who was coming on in what order.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, like, I got to see Ice Cube. So I got up front there. And then Rammstein came on. Oh, and they had, like, this
pyrotechnics going on.
Pyrotechnics. But they also had this, like, bondage-type guy. This guy that's, like, a gimp.
Yep.
Right? And this, like,
they're Germans.
Full head-to-toe leather with, like, a zipper over his mouth.
Yep.
He had this, like, dildo or something that would spray the crowd.
Oh,
like he was, you know.
Fuck.
And I got sprayed.
Oh.
I got sprayed. And I was like, geez, Ice Cube better fucking make it work.
Oh, man. Did Ice Cube come out then?
Yeah, he did.
Okay,
and it was fucking awesome, man.
Damn, you should have had a raincoat up there.
I didn't know what I was getting into.
Like going to a Gallagher show or shit. Or fucking,
Gallagher.
What's the Gwar?
Gwar, yeah. But then Ice Cube, he's been back here a few times. Me and Professor Fresh went and saw him at First Ave probably like 3-4 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah. And it was, again, awesome show.
I honestly think you invited me to that, and for some reason I couldn't make it.
Right. Well, next time don't pass up such an
offer. That is a... How do I pass up an opportunity like that?
Yeah, and Dub C.
Stupid!
Dub C was his hype man there, too. Both shows.
Dub C was?
Yeah.
No shit. That's awesome. That was another group I used to listen to back in the day. It was WC and the Mad Circle.
Yeah.
Great group.
Coolio.
When they were like, him and Coolio, they're all kind of crackheads at the time too, so they're really fucking rough and gritty.
I've never heard the album. I know that Coolio was part of the Mad Circle.
That's before he got real cleaned up and mainstream.
Right.
No swearing in his music.
Was
Gangster's
his hair
Paradise.
Like, still?
I don't think it was crazy like it was. It was kind of, I think, corn rolled up. But
you know, speaking of Gangster's Paradise, something I hate about rap is like, I didn't grow up listening to, like, these old R&B soul music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and now I love it, and I'm kind of digging back into that.
Mm-hmm.
That song is basically a replica of a Stevie Wonder song from the album Songs in the Key of Life.
Okay.
Like, the music, exactly the same. Yeah, it's because I'd never heard. Actually, in a couple weeks, I'm going to interview Il Po.
Yeah.
In Mankato, and he's like, "Let's talk about the Stevie Wonder."
Shout outs to Il Po.
Yeah. What up? So he wanted to talk about that Stevie Wonder album, and I'm like, "Well, I know that like the radio songs."
Yeah.
But I don't know the album, so I had bought the album, and that song's on there, and I'm like, "Oh shit! Seriously? Fucking Coolio, LV."
LV.
Yeah.
Here's a little tidbit about LV.
LV has been shot more times than 50 Cent. I swear to you, he's taken like 11 shots to the fucking chest and lived.
Well, he needs to make an album.
He should.
Like, get richer and die trying harder. Large variety, right? That's what LV stands for, I think.
Is it?
I think so.
He's a large dude, man.
Yeah, he is.
Maybe that's why
guy.
The 11 bullets really didn't faze him at all.
Right. Kinda... You're a big guy, I suppose.
Just right here in the side, just popping right out.
If you're going to shoot me, try to the belly area. Yeah, so, you know, you hear stuff like that, and you're like, you know, the song kind of loses that touch. That's
yeah,
like
I know what you're
originality.
Saying. There's a lot of songs. I mean, fucking half of Puff Daddy's
right.
songs from the 90s were all like that, you
yeah.
know?
Even Nothing But a G Thing was like,
yeah.
a lot of that was lifted from, I don't know who, but almost the whole instrumental of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of it is also the producer's ear of, like, you know, knowing to use this.
Yeah,
you know
how to use it. And, you know, in all honesty, some, you know, I hear some songs, too, and I'm just like, you know, this would be way better as, like, a gangster rap song.
Right.
You know? It's like some things that go good together.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. Sometimes it's just too much. Yeah. You know, like.
Ugh. Too much. Here's the thing. You can go to thankyourob.com.
Okay.
It's a website. You can go there. It's a buffet of podcasts. I do another podcast called peopleskids.com or Some People's Kids Podcast.
Okay.
That's my buddy Chuck and myself, and we talk about music, movies, porn stars.
Mm.
Not yet, but we will.
Good
I'm
subject.
Sure. I'm sure
Very
we
good
will.
Subject.
And it's a lot more funny than this. Not that this isn't funny,
oh, this
what
is
we're
great.
Doing here, but.
Great banter.
Yeah, it's a little more sarcasm and whatnot, but. Thanks for doing the show.
Anytime.
I'm glad Dana Plato got a little plug on this.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Rest
How
in
did
peace.
That even happen?
I don't know. Yeah, man, we just do a whole episode
different
about her.
Different for different folks.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, man.
Anytime.
Any last words?
Get good and fucked up today, people. St. Patty's Day.
But it's going to be Wednesday when they hear this.
Oh.
I hope you got good fucked up.
Don't get fucked up tonight.
You got to go to work.
You got to work in the morning.
Thanks for listening, people.
I am Rob. Thank you for listening.
Feel the real, conceal with the real, steal ready to feel shots. Don't stop, I go hot, so we rock the barrel. nothing to lose.